This morning, budget bills reported out of subcommittee, House Bill 5008. House Bill 5008 is the budget bill for the Department of Corrections. The recommended budget totals approximately $918 million, of which the general fund support is $859 million. As a result of actions taken by your subcommittee, the recommended general fund budget in House Bill 5008 is nearly $158,000 below the governor's recommended budget. The subcommittee also took actions that will reduce the governor's recommended general fund budget for corrections capital construction projects. In summary, the subcommittee actions provided $6 million in funding for prison operations and community corrections grants. It identified $8.9 million in general fund reductions based on debt service savings, prioritized and redirected $8.9 million identified by reorganization. Reduced $900,000 from the budget, excuse me, based on changes in the PERS employer contributions. The subcommittee also adopted several budget notes directing the department to issue related staffing cost recovery in Oregon Correctional Enterprises.
Yeah.
The training for agencies that supervise inmate work crews, integration of criminal justice information, centralization of telephone and telecommunications resources and expenditures, centralization of personal computer and related hardware, software procurement, and increased use of alternative community-based sanctions in counties receiving community corrections grants. Funding is included to address the projected changes in the prison, Senate Bill 1145, post-prison supervision and probation population. During 2001-03, the prison population is forecast to increase from nearly 10,700 to over 11,500 inmates. To meet projected increases in the prison population, funding is provided to phase in additional beds at Two Rivers Correctional Institution, phase in beds at the Women's Prison and Intake Center, and to continue some temporary beds. The budget contains additional funds to pay debt service costs related to the construction of a new minimum custody prison in Madras and Lakeview, and Senate Bill 1145 construction projects in two counties. And the Public Safety Committee unanimously recommends the approval. Is there a discussion? Senator Trowe.
Mr. Chair, this was a very difficult budget. It was a tight budget to begin with, and there were some cuts in the budget that really concerned the subcommittee, especially those that cut out some activities of the prisoners and programs for the prisoners. And so what happened was that a kind of subcommittee of our group, authorized by the chair, Senators Representative Leonard and Doyle, worked with the department, Mr. Cook and Sue Acuff and others in the department, and they sort of readjusted the budget a little bit to find some monies that would allow some restoration of programs, educational programs, drug and alcohol treatment, some things like that, and also some more recreation time in the yards. And those things, I think, were valuable changes that were made. Now, one of the things that happened, I think, as you take a tight budget and you constrict it even further to find resources to do those things that the governor had not included, is that you take away some of the flexibility for the budget into the future. And there are some unknown things that may affect this budget, like, for instance, salary negotiations and others. That means this is a tight budget. And I think we all recognize they might have to come back to the E-Board to get some adjustments made in the budget as time goes on.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Hayden.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you could just comment on the level of debt service, which appears to be about 10%, and I'm wondering what level of debt service is the state prepared to carry into perpetuity with this and other budgets?
Okay. Is there staff, Larry, would you like to respond specifically to that on debt service?
Yes, Chair and committee members, the Department of Corrections debt service is primarily for facilities that are CLP financed for approximately 20 to 25 years. So these are long-term debt service obligations. They will continue to grow marginally in the future as new facilities are constructed. So in combination, this is the Senate Bill 1145 facilities. We're still paying debt service on Snake River, Umatilla, Two Rivers, this biennium, Coffee Creek facility, the new intake center, women's prison, and there are some new projects in here that are much smaller. But these are, you know, anywhere from $10 to $25 million per biennium per project for about 20 to 25 years.
Mr. Chair, I ask this in the context of the fact that we pretty well tapped out lottery bonding, and the House just passed a $1.2 billion additional bonding requirement, and I'm wondering at what level we will stop approving additional bonding and additional debt service.
Are you posing that question to me?
I think it's more rhetorical, and I'm going to vote yes on this budget.
Okay. I can tell you it's when the bank's empty. Are there any other questions?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Yee.
I noticed that in this budget there is $392.39 FTE increase, and there are several facilities that are delayed in operation. Why are we increasing such a large number of FTEs?
Mr. Nisswender?
Yes, Committee Chair and committee members, the primary reason for that FTE increase is the opening of the Coffee Creek correctional facility and women's intake prison in Wilsonville this biennium. It will phase in up to 136 beds there, and those are new positions to operate that new facility.
Mr. Chairman.
Cindy.
Did you say 136 beds or 1,000?
1,036.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, I'm just concerned that even with the delay of Lakeview and other minimum bed facilities, we're still increasing a large number of FTEs.
And Chair and committee members, the subcommittee was also concerned with that. There were efforts made to reduce the staff impact. In fact, there are beds that are being delayed, intensive management beds at Snake River this biennium, in an effort to save on FTE costs, to help with the budget rebalance. So the subcommittee did spend considerable time on positions and FTE, and it prioritized those that it did add back so that it could continue some of the inmate programs that were considered unacceptable cuts. It did affect some correctional officer positions when they restored those.
Okay, further questions? Representative Winters.
Mr. Co-Chair, I don't have a question. I have a comment that I really want to state, that I'm very pleased that the subcommittee focused on the reductions in the activities inside the institution, and because those of us who understand what goes on inside of those walls, and if you don't have good management inside and provide some of those services, we're leaving ourselves open for some serious consequences later. And I just want to commend them for focusing on that and coming up with a very good, I think, tight budget, though it is, that they really address some of the very serious issues that was inside. And I think they've done a really good job.
Okay. Further discussion or questions? I'd like to also take this opportunity to thank Senator Randy Miller, who is not here this morning, but the chairman of the subcommittee, and Senator Charles and the other subcommittee members for their work on this, because I know that there was a lot of work, and Representative Doyle, Representative Leonard, in trying to go back in and take the savings, and rather than moving it out of the budget, was actually involved in reinvesting the money back into the budget to come up with other cost effectiveness within this agency. And I think they set the bar for all of us to look at, about looking at budgets, trying to come up with cost savings, but reinvesting those budgets back in, the cost savings back into some of those budgets to make them more efficient and effectively. And I think Representative Doyle and Representative Leonard, even though they're not here also, need to be commended for their work and effort in this. And so I think this is a good budget. Certainly there's always more that we could complain about. There's always not enough, but this goes a long ways. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to passing House Bill 5008 out with a due pass recommendation? Is there objection? Not, it's been so approved. House Bill 5012. House Bill 5012 deals with the Dispute Resolution Commission. The Commission supports state-funded community and public policy dispute resolution programs and monitors the outcomes from these programs. Dispute resolution programs are supported by a surcharge on circuit court civil filing fees, and previous budgets included general fund support for the public policy program. This budget is 5.9% below the governor's budget and has reduced 14.5% and one FTE from the 1999-01 estimated expenditures. Other fund adjustments include standard assessment reductions and elimination of one-time funds from grants received during the 1999-01 biennium. The subcommittee eliminated the general fund support for the Public Policy Dispute Resolution Program and approved Senate Bill 958 that restructures the program. The commission will continue the Public Policy Dispute Resolution Program through the process established in Senate Bill 958. A budget note directs the commission to work with the Joint Interim Judiciary Committee on fees and other contributions to support community dispute resolution programs. The subcommittee recommends a budget of $1,937,219 other funds, four positions, and three FTE for the Dispute Resolution Commission. The subcommittee urges the full Ways and Means Committee to send House Bill 5012 out with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Again, I'd like to thank Senator Miller, Senator Trow, Representative Doyle, Representative Leonard for their work on this. This is a change of direction, I think, that everybody needs to know that we have not done in the past. We're taking some of the general fund support out of here and actually making it more self-supporting. There are some concerns that are we going to generate enough fees? Are we going to generate enough funds, and do we exclude somebody out of dispute resolution? So I think these are questions that I would urge my colleagues to look at, consider, monitor during the interim especially, so that this agency doesn't come back here 2 years from now and say, what you did to us during 2001, we can't live with, and we can't accept it, and we have been totally incapacitated by your reductions. So I say that for the record. I hope we look at this. Ms. Brody, the executive director, has done a very fine job with this dispute resolution commission, and I hope we make it work because it is an efficient alternative to court and litigation and expensive lawsuits. So with that, Representative Schrader.
I'd just like to echo the chair's comments and point out this is hopefully going to be the beginning of a better utilization of the dispute commission. One of the things that always has come through on the public safety subcommittee is the cost of all the attorney general's fees that are spread throughout all the different agencies. And if we can get this working correctly and on a steady funding source and user base, which is appropriate, then hopefully we can further reduce our attorney general's costs in state government and get these situations resolved more easily, more quickly for those that are having problems both in and out of state government. So I think hopefully it's beginning of a good trend.
Okay. Senator Trow.
I have some reservations about what we're doing here, it's because before that we had we utilize dispute resolutions in numbers of ways, and we utilize it for state agencies. There's a legitimate general fund investment that could be made in this agency, and we have been putting a very small amount of general fund dollars into it to pay for some of the function that relates to state agencies. And moving to a kind of a fee-based approach, I think, maybe is what we need to do. Maybe we're going to have to do this more often as general fund becomes so scarce in the future, as it seems to be these days. But I think it's important to reinforce this agency with a general fund contribution. That's why I think we did it to begin with. When we set up the agency, we put some general fund into it, and I think it makes sense into the future. So let's examine what happens this time and see whether it works or not, but with the idea that maybe we come back and we reinvest some general fund if this kind of an approach doesn't work all that well.
Thank you. Further questions or comments? Is there objection to passing House Bill 5012 out to the House as amended with a due pass recommendation?
I'll be a no.
Senator Troll will be recorded as voting no. Are there any other objections? If not, the motion passes. House Bill 5041, Spinal Cord Injury Research Board, Senator Troll.
Thank you. 5041 is the budget bill for the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board. The 1999 Legislative Assembly created this board, and its mission is to promote the performance of basic research in Oregon relating to the regeneration of damage resulting from traumatic spinal cord injury. The board consists of 11 members appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. The governor's budget for the board included $3 million other fund expenditure limitation as well as $1 from the general fund. However, the board has not identified any other fund revenue source. The Education Committee recommends that the agency's other fund expenditure limitation for this time be reduced to $50,000. This removes most of the empty non-funded expenditure limitation, but would allow the board to spend other fund revenues, if it receives some, between the end of the legislative session and the first emergency board meeting. The agency could request additional expenditure limitation and position authority from the emergency board during the 2001-03 biennium if it is successful in obtaining significant donations or private foundation grant funds. If the agency receives federal funds revenue, it can request the emergency board to establish a federal funds expenditure limitation. Like all state agencies, the board must gain legislative approval prior to applying for a federal grant. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of 5041 as amended. It looks as though this research board is in trouble. It cannot find resources that it thought it could find, and I suppose if we want to keep it going into the future, we could bail it out with general fund, but I'm not sure that that's possible.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. A question to Senator Troll. Is there a possibility that this same function, which I presume the creation of the commission was to bring, in no small measure, public attention to the traumatic injuries that result from spinal cord injury, is there a relationship that could be forged somewhere with this board that would accomplish the goals of the board without having a separate state board to do this? I'm thinking about a relationship with some of the ongoing research that's done at OHSU, or some academic institution that's doing basic research and have the board absorbed or have a relationship there that would eliminate this board as a state board.
That's a worthy comment, Representative, to consider. I think they ought to be looking that way. There is somebody, a physician from the OHSU on the board, as I recall, as they made their presentation. So it's not as though they're unrelated now, but it looks like it's not going any place in its present configuration. So some other kind of effort is needed, and that's a good point.
A follow-up, Mr.
Yes.
It would be my observation, based on my experience of sitting on the board of a charitable foundation, that if in the limited pool of charitable dollars that exist, if a foundation had to make the judgment between giving money to a state commission or an institution of higher learning that was doing basic research, it seems to me pretty abundantly clear that the money would go to the institution actually doing on-the-ground research. So long term, I don't know what the opportunity for raising other funds is for this organization, and I hope they would seriously look at collaborative relationships with institutions that are doing basic research in this very important area.
Good. I think you're right.
Are there questions or comments? Is there objection to passing House Bill 5004-1 out to the House as amended with a do pass recommendation? If not, Representative Johnson, would you like to be recorded as voting no?
Yes, please, Mr. Chair.
I'll be no also.
Okay, Representative Schrader will be recorded as voting no. Any other people? If not, the motion passes. House Bill 5004-6, Department of Human Services, Ledger Rebalance. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill transfers resources among the 9 divisions and offices of the Department of Human Services to balance the agency's current biennium budget. About every 6 months, the department appears before either the emergency board or the legislative assembly to revise its budget to reflect caseload and other changes that affect costs. Savings in some programs are used to offset shortfalls in other areas. This is the 4th rebalance plan for the current biennium budget. The plan requires no additional general fund appropriation, but increases expenditure limitations by a total of 18.7 million other funds and 38.8 million federal funds. The following major issues are addressed in the plan: 7.3 million in general fund savings in the State Office for Services to Children and Families are used to replace a like amount in federal social services block grant expenditures. The block grant funds can be carried over to address a projected federal fund shortfall in SCF in 2001. $1 million is used in the Mental Health and Developmentally Disabled Services Division to address the continued demand for community acute care beds for civilly committed persons with mental illness. Necessary expenditure limitation adjustments are included to facilitate higher than anticipated Medicaid upper payment limit payments to hospital districts. A total of $1.4 million, including $800,000 general fund, is absorbed within existing resources for Young versus State of Oregon overtime costs. The plan absorbs the added workload effects of significantly higher food stamp caseloads in the Adult and Family Services Division and caseload and cost increases in the Office of Medical Assistance Programs are offset by higher than anticipated revenues, primarily from client premium payments and drug rebates. The Department of Administrative Services is requested to reschedule $1.1 million general fund that has been unscheduled at the request of the Emergency Board for a variety of reasons in prior rebalance plans. Based on this plan, DAS has requested to unschedule $1.7 million general fund that can be offset with additional federal funds. This brings the total of general funds that remains unscheduled for the biennium of $6.6 million. Barring further changes, this amount will revert the general fund and become a part of the 9901 ending balance. This is a good rebalance plan which resolves agency's current biennium needs without requiring additional general fund resources.
Thank you, Representative Winters. Is there a discussion? Representative Hayden.
A question of the carrier, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Representative Winters, on line 28, the second page, under Office of Medical Assistance Programs, a deletion of $1.1 million in general fund resources. Are there specific programs scheduled for that, or is that just an at-large deduction?
I believe the $1.1 million general fund?
Yeah.
That's the unscheduled, that's the amount that has been unscheduled. That's a request of the e-board. And there was a lot of reasons in that $1.1 million. If you followed, that was the $1.1 was unscheduled during the board activity. And you want to know the list of programs that were involved in it?
Well, the reason for the list, if they're available.
Ms. Archer.
Ms. Archer. Mr. Chairman and Representative Hayden, the $1.1 million in the Office of Medical Assistance Programs is just a net general fund savings in that program as a result of increased costs due to caseload and other funds being able to offset those cost increases due to increased revenues from drug rebates and client premiums. So that's just a net number. There was $1.1 million, as Representative Winters suggests, recommended for unscheduling, but that was out of the Adult and Family Services Division. So that 1.1 is simply a net savings after all the adjustments in the health plan budget.
Further question, Mr. Carrier?
Yes.
Mr. Chair. Representative, if there is a deduction from the Office of Medical Assistance Programs under general funds of $1.1 million, why is that necessary in view of the fact that the rebalance plan leaves approximately $6.6 million general fund unscheduled, which may revert to the general fund?
Ms. Archer?
The purpose of the Department of Human Services rebalance is to reevaluate caseload adjustments and cost per case adjustments throughout all of the divisions of the budget, and where one finds savings to transfer those savings to take care of problems in another division. And so those $1.3 million, although they come out of the health plan budget or the Office of Medical Assistance Programs budgets, which includes the health plan and other programs, although that particular division had savings, those savings are used elsewhere in the rebalance to make sure that the agency did not have to ask for additional general fund. Then the $1.7 million that was unscheduled was the amount of general fund overall. That particular amount happened to come from AFS, but it was the amount overall that was above and beyond what was needed to balance the general fund across all agency divisions. And so that was the reason for unscheduling, recommending that amount be unscheduled. So the $1.1 million in OMAP goes to help resolve issues in other divisions so that they won't have to ask for more general fund money to solve those problems.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. Mm-hmm.
Is there further discussion or questions?
Yeah.
If not, the motion by...
Mr. Chair, down here.
Look, down there.
Oh, way down there.
Senator Brown, I'm not used to seeing you on my right.
Mr. Chair, question to the Carrier.
Question to the Carrier.
Representative Winters, there was approximately $250,000 left unspent from a pilot project dealing with atypical antipsychotic medications. What portion, if you know, was that of the project, and why was it not spent? Was the project unsuccessful, or?
And
we have a staff member
here.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, there was $1.9 million that was allocated to the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division for a pilot project for atypical antipsychotic medications. There were two projects established, one in Washington and one in Multnomah County. The expenditures in Multnomah County started up more slowly than expected. There is about $400,000 that they don't expect to spend by the end of the biennium. And what the rebalance plan did was to say, recognizing that all of that $1.9 million, which was an estimate to start with, wouldn't be spent in 9901, some of those funds were redirected to startup costs at the Oregon State Hospital for a new ward that will come online in 0103. And so there will be some savings in 0103 when we get to their budget recommendation from that.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Representative Trader.
Yes. I think it's important for the subcommittee to realize this whole pilot was good to be done because we found out it was a complete bust. There were much fewer cases than were presented in the last session that even would qualify or needing this type of medication. It was billed to the legislature as helping children. Most of the work that was done in our correctional institutes and stuff. So So I think this is an example of a pilot that served its purpose and should go away.
Is there further discussion or questions? The motion is by Representative Winters to move House Bill 5046, the Department of Human Services 99-2001 budget rebalance. Recommends the bill reported out to the House with the due pass with the amendments. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. House Bill 5047, Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5047 is the budget bill for the Department of Revenue. The department administers the state's income tax and property tax programs, collects monies owed to other state agencies in numerous miscellaneous taxes, and administers two tax relief programs, the Senior Citizens and Disabled Citizens Property Tax Deferral Program and the Elderly Rental Assistance Program. The subcommittee approved a total budget of $138,496,659.958.72 FTE. The budget is a 7% increase over 1999-01 estimated expenditures. The subcommittee reduced the governor's proposed budget by $443,088 for revised PERS contribution amounts, reduced AG hourly rates, and revised interagency charges. It also approved a reduction package of $4.5 million and 35.45 FTE as a result of processing efficiencies the department has realized this biennium. The subcommittee approved three policy packages to increase income tax collections through taxpayer education, assistance, and enforcement activities. The subcommittee also approved the revenue-generating packages in the governor's March 2001 revised budget. Reductions were made for lower PERS contributions and PERS savings on new hires, as well as lower AG hourly rates. The department testified that it can generate an additional $27.9 million general fund dollar revenues with the resources provided in these packages. At a cost of $5.5 million, the net increase to the general fund is $22.4 million. The subcommittee approved $934,489 general fund and 6.75 FTE to enable the department to increase education and compliance activities in the cigarette tax program. The subcommittee also appropriated to the general fund $703,336 for the Oregon State Police and $479,915 for the Department of Justice for their roles in a tri-agency task force designed to address all facets of noncompliance in this area. It is expected additional taxes generated by this task force will be $8.6 million. The department is directed to report periodically to the emergency board on the result of the task force activities. The subcommittee increased the department's other funds expenditure limitation for 4 FTE to provide support to counties in administering the property tax system, for dispersing funds to counties from the Oregon Land Information System for statewide base mapping projects, for the increased costs of liens filed in the Senior Citizens and Disabled Citizens Property Tax Deferral Program. In its statement of expectations adopted for this budget, the subcommittee recognized that there is a point of diminishing returns in adding new staff to generate revenues and expects that when the department reports back to the 2003 Legislative Assembly, it will include the incremental results of adding new staff. This will establish a basis for a cost-benefit analysis to aid in future decisions regarding the addition of auditing and collection staff. The General Government Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Dukes. Is there discussion or questions? Representative Schrader.
We did a similar type of project last biennium, and I was wondering if the subcommittee had discussed this. Did the revenues come in as expected by putting a few more people at work on this type of project?
We had the Department of Revenue put a part-time staff person of theirs on cigarette tax collections. And with, and I don't recall the exact amount, but with a considerable return on that investment, far more than paid for the staff person. And that was what led them to believe that then putting more people into this type of collections. We lose a lot of money to uncollected cigarette taxes for a variety of reasons. There are a lot of contraband stamps out there and things like that.
Mr. Chairman.
Just one more. Are you finished? Senator Yee.
I want to know, with the 34 additional positions added for more tax compliance and increase in tax revenue, are they limited durations?
I don't remember.
Ms. McGlashan?
Mr. Chair, members of the members of the committee, no, they are full-time permanent positions.
Follow-up.
Senator?
Mr. Chairman. In the event that the tax revenues do not realize as we anticipate, then we shouldn't keep adding positions without getting the results. In the event they report back that the tax revenue is not as much as we anticipate, these positions should go away. That means we have reached the point of diminishing return, and therefore not need those positions any further.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Yee, you're exactly right. The subcommittee didn't believe at this point that we were anywhere near, the point of diminishing returns in this area, but that's why the regular reports to the emergency board, and that's why the budget requirement that they take that into consideration in reporting next biennium, so that the committee next session can decide whether or not to go further in that area or to stop and say we've hit that point.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I just want to say that when we make some permanent position, it makes it very difficult to stop this program when we see we're not getting the results.
You just take them out next session.
Okay. Senator Trell.
Mr. Chair, the memory I have about this agency and adding positions to generate additional money has been one of rather continued success over the years. We began doing this a long time ago, and often what happens is clearly that the money that they anticipate getting does indeed come in. And it may mean that we don't really staff this agency well enough in its accounting function so that we could generate even more revenues. I don't know whether we're close to the max or not in terms of the staffing there, which basically goes out and gets uncollected tax revenue for us. But anyway, certainly if they say they can raise that money, they usually do.
Okay. Further questions? Senator Farioli.
Briefly, Mr. Chairman, the package 160 that we've been discussing, I just wanted to commend the director for being responsive and cooperative in putting together a new partnership between the Department of Justice and the Oregon State Police and the Department of Revenue. We've heard various reports of the size of avoidance with cigarette tax payments. There's a conservative estimate contained within this budget. We hope that compliance activities will and net quite a bit more revenue than this, but and that's driven by the fact that there's a significant differential between Oregon cigarette taxes and those in neighboring states, making Oregon a primary target for illegal cigarette smuggling. So the director and the superintendent of state police and the folks over at the Department of Justice, I think, are going to usher us into a new era of compliance with their activities, and I think the even the industry has come forward and shown that they are aware of significant tax avoidance, and that ought to be a good indicator that we can expect additional revenues for the investment in this agency. So I commend the director on a very creative approach to Package 160 and the co-chairs for realizing that there's an opportunity that a little investment will produce a bit of revenue. Thank you.
Okay, further questions or discussion? Is there objection to the motion by Senator Dukes that House Bill 5047 be reported out to the House as amended with a due pass recommendation? Senator Yee will be recorded as voting no. Anyone else? If not, the motion passes. Senate Bill 5503, Senator Dukes.
Oops. Another one.
Hang on.
Just go, Chair. Senate Bill 5503 is the budget bill for four state agencies: the Commission for Women, Commission on Asian Affairs, Commission on Black Affairs, and Commission on Hispanic Affairs. These four advocacy commissions have similar statutory charges. Each works toward the economic, social, legal, and political equality of their constituencies. Each commission also has a staff of one executive director to support its activities. The General Government Subcommittee approved standard reductions for these budgets, including reductions for PERS costs and state government service charges, and a 1% reduction in services and supplies, and in out-of-state travel. The governor's budget contained different amounts of general fund support for each of the four commissions. These amounts were based on the compensation levels of the prior executive directors and did not reflect the commission's current costs. The subcommittee therefore reallocated funds to equalize the general fund appropriation to each commission. This will provide equity in funding. It will also require commissions that hire their staff at upper salary step levels to raise private funds to support these compensation costs. The subcommittee was concerned about the impact of high turnover on commission management. The budget directs the Department of Administrative Services to exercise its management authority to train commission staff and members, and to ensure that commission expenditures comply with the law. To promote the commission's fundraising efforts, the budget unschedules $10,000 of the general fund appropriation for each commission to be used as a dollar-for-dollar matching fund toward any donations, grants, or sales income that the commission raises from private sources. Finally, the subcommittee noted that the Secretary of State is preparing an audit of the Commission on Hispanic Affairs that is expected to identify financial irregularities. This audit report is not expected until after the session adjourns. In response, Senate Bill 5503 appropriates general fund to the Commission for the first year of the biennium only. Funding for the second year of the biennium is appropriated to the Emergency Board. The Emergency Board will be able to release these funds after the Commission on Hispanic Affairs demonstrates that it has successfully addressed the concerns identified in the Secretary of State audit. Your General Government Subcommittee, Mr. Co-Chair, recommends approval of Senate Bill 5503 with the -1 amendments.
Thank you, Senator Dukes. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I sit on one of those commissions, and I'm supportive of the budgets. I have no problem there. But I do, and I hate to get into the problem of semantics, but something I constantly bring up when I sit on one of these commissions is the word advocacy. I realize that there is some advocacy, but I also see them as information providers, research groups, and so forth. And so I guess as you identify them as advocacy groups, I have trouble with that particular word. And I realize that does happen, but I don't see them strictly as advocacy, and I guess I would like to see us delete the word advocacy, because they really are, they're supposed to, as I see them, to be able to bring information to us, provide do research for us, and do other things. Granted, we're all advocates, and I understand that word, but I just want to make that clear here that I'm bothered by that term, just as an advocacy group.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the motion of Senator Dukes, the House or Senate Bill 5503 as amended to the full Senate with a due pass recommendation? Not, the motion passes. Senate Bill 5550, Human Services Subcommittee, fee bill. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. ORS 291-055 requires the Legislative Assembly to ratify fees that were newly established or increased by state government agencies in order for them to continue into the following biennium. This ratification process was implemented in 1995 through Senate Bill 333. Senate Bill 550, as amended, ratifies fees that were increased or newly established during the 99-01 biennium by the Health Division of the Department of Human Services, the Board of Nursing, the Board of Medical Examiners, and the Board of psychologist examiners. Each agency increased or established the fees through its administrative rule process, and the Department of Administrative Services approved all of the fee charges changes as well. Each agency discussed its proposed fees extensively during the 99 Ways and Means Committee hearings. The agency's 2001-03 budgets rely on the revenue generated from the fee changes. The governor has already signed three of the 2001-03 budgets, medical examiners, nursing, and psychologist examiners. The health division's budget is a part of the Department of Human Services budget, and work on that bill has not yet been completed. The committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5550 as amended.
Okay, is there further discussion on Senate Bill 5550? If not, is there objection to the motion by Representative Winters that we move Senate Bill 5550 as amended out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Senator Yee will be recorded as voting no.
I'm a no.
Representative Schrader will be recorded as voting no. Is there anyone else that wishes to be recorded as voting no? If not, the motion passes. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 895A, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 895A is the product of an interim work group that included industry stakeholders and the Department of Environmental Quality and addresses ballast water management issues. The bill does three things. It requires vessels coming into Oregon waters to exchange ballast water at sea. It requires vessels to report ballast water information to the Department of Environmental Quality. Finally, it establishes a task force to study alternatives for better ballast water management. Ballast water is the water and associated sediment held in and discharged from ocean-going cargo vessels to maintain stability. Ballast is commonly exchanged as the vessel nears port and may be exchanged again as the vessel leaves port after loading or unloading. Aquatic animals and plants may be passive passengers of a ballast exchange. An aquatic nuisance species is any species that enters an ecosystem outside of its historic range. Requiring ballast water to be exchanged at sea reduces the chance an aquatic nuisance species will be introduced into Oregon waters. Your Natural Resources Subcommittee considered Senate Bill 895A to address fiscal issues. The Department of Environmental Quality and the marine industry have worked out the information reporting requirements in a way that will be budget neutral to DEQ. The task force that will address ballast water management during the interim does have an impact of approximately $75,000. Your subcommittee recommends the A6 amendments to Senate Bill 895A to shift the task force to Portland State University. The amendments also clarify the source of funding will be gifts, grants, or donations. Portland State University's Center for Rivers and Lakes is developing the State Aquatic Nuisance Species Management Plan. That plan addresses ballast water management, and the task force is consistent with the next phase of work on the plan. Portland State University anticipates a federal grant in early 2002 that would provide funding for the task force. Necessary in-kind match for the grant will consist of work already ongoing in several natural resource agencies. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends adoption of the A6 amendment and passage of Senate Bill 895A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Is there further discussion or questions? Mm-hmm. Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, are there other states which prohibit the discharge of ballast water into their waters?
There was discussion that came forward in the committee, and remind Senator that in the Ways and Means Subcommittee, we didn't do the policy discussion, we just did the fiscal discussion. But it's my understanding that California and Washington also have these agreements.
Okay, is there further questions?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Yee.
Follow-up question. Since we are having a task force to look at this issue, wouldn't it be better to prohibit the discharge of water after a discussion of this issue and based on task force recommendation?
Mr. Co-Chair, if I may, Senator Dukes and Senator Farioli have been involved in the ongoing policy side of this discussion, and I think especially Senator Dukes would be an excellent resource to answer that question.
Senator Dukes?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The California, Washington, and Oregon all have different ballast water laws. They've been evolving separately. One of the pieces for this task force would be to try to work it out with the other states so we have consistent ballast water laws, which we really need to have. We need to begin, we know that non-indigenous invasive species come into us through ballast water. That's little critters from other areas that we don't think belong over here. And so we need to, as an initial step, get them to discharge their ballast water further out and into areas. For example, this bill would only allow the Californians to, things that are coming out of San Francisco Harbor, which are highly, I mean, San Francisco Harbor is a lost cause in terms of non-invasive species, or invasive non-indigenous species, and so they would discharge before they came into the area that could likely impact Oregon. The same would happen with the Alaskan ships. When they come down, they would be discharging their ballast water before they reached the area where it would flow into Oregon's waters. And so we need to do something now, and then the task force will fine-tune it and bring back more recommendations. But we're looking at a lot of areas where we could have problems, mainly the Columbia River. If some of these little critters get into the Columbia River, the dams are gone, the screens are gone, the dikes are gone, they can do incredible damage.
Okay, thank you. Senator Farioli.
Just to add briefly, the legislature sort of, and our community sort of busted our pick on this issue last legislative session, really. And that was because we couldn't get any agreement between the coastal shippers, because potentially the liability on invasive species is incredibly high. What was worked out over the two-year period agreements for this interim process of exchange of ballast water further off the coastal shelf, so that they don't pick up mollusks and little creatures from other areas and drop them into an area where they could be seeded, like the zebra mussel or the mitten crab, and some of the others that we've already identified in Oregon. So this is a result of a 2 years of working on the issue. We realize the work's not done. Portland State's the right place. There is, with this legislation, a law that will prohibit the discharge of ballast water into areas that could contaminate. So I think this is a great point.
Another question, yes. Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Yee.
So how are the shippers informed about our environmental protection policies before they come into our ports and river?
It's an educational process that will be done by the Coast Guard in connection with the EQ.
And they will be forewarned, another question,
yes.
Before yes. they enter the port.
Yes.
So they can dump them in California.
No, they're going to dump most of them out in the ocean.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. given that Senator, I'm very supportive of this bill. But given that Senator Dukes is the expert on this, I don't know whether or not to put the question to her. The A6 amendments shift the task force to Portland State. I think that's appropriate. It says the amendment also clarifies the source of funding will be gifts, grants, and donations. That to me seems a little bit vague, although Portland State's probably a very excellent recipient to get those kinds of gifts and grants. Was there any discussion about how those might be identified and who will be responsible for soliciting them beyond the federal grant that you've already identified?
Let me try to respond. The gifts, grants, or other funds is language that co-chairs have chosen to use in budget bills to take the fiscal impact out of bills. So if you want to know where the language came from, it came from the co-chairs, and it in essence directs the task force to go out and seek funding from private donors, federal funds, any other funds, anywhere other than general funds.
Mr. Co-Chair, I understand that completely, and I agree with it. My question, though, is going to be who will be ultimately charged with hunting for that money. Otherwise, we have a task force that, absent the one federal grant that's been identified doesn't have any money to go forward. And I don't know whether the ports will be contributing to this or the shippers. I'm just trying to get a sense of where the money is.
Senator Hannan and Representative Johnson, that was discussed not in subcommittee, but it has was discussed in the substantive committee and in our discussions in making this amendment. And both the marine industry and the Port of Portland are quite involved in trying to locate alternative sources of funding.
Thank you. Including contributions perhaps directly from them?
Perhaps.
Thank you.
Senator Farrelly.
Mr. Co-Chair, the issue of potential liability is the broad and the, all of the coastal shippers in the Pacific are looking for a strategy that can be adopted not only by a multi-state approach but an international approach. This is a worldwide problem. So I anticipate that the most anxious group out there to develop a strategy that gives them a protocol that they can hold on to that protects them from some liability that will drive the funding of this research and future cooperative agreements that come out of it. So even though the co-chairs have hit upon this creative phraseology, there's every reason to believe that there will be adequate, more than adequate funding to do this work.
Is there further discussion?
Yeah, I was going to say creative finance, but I changed my mind.
Is there objection to the passage of Senate Bill 895A6 amendments passing out to the Senate where they do pass recommendation? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Senate Bill 958, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This restructures the Public Policy Dispute Resolution Program and the Dispute Resolution Commission. The Public Policy Program is supported by a surcharge on circuit court civil filing fees. Under current law, 20% of the filing fee surcharge is transferred to the Department of Administrative Services. The department uses the funds to support four cluster coordinator positions in four separate state agencies. This bill eliminates the transfer and consolidates responsibility for the program in the commission. The bill establishes two positions to enable the commission to continue the public policy dispute resolution program. Budget notes direct the commission to develop an interim work plan and a permanent structure to deliver public policy dispute resolution services and to report to the emergency board. The commission is directed to ensure that there is a process to monitor and report on the effectiveness of the program. The subcommittee recommends an other funds limitation of 422,000 other funds and two positions and FTE to support public policy dispute resolution services through the Dispute Resolution Commission. We passed its companion bill earlier. It is House Bill 5012. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Is there further discussion? Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Senator Hannan. I just wondered if there was any discussion. We did the transportation budget, and there was about $1 million in there of dispute resolution grant money that I think they'd received federal government that all of us were kind of unsure, and I don't think the department gave us a very good explanation of exactly what they were going to do with that. I'm just wondering if those funds, if there was a talk about those funds being transferred over. If not, that's something we should have LFO look at as part of a rebalance.
Ms. Lamont.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the one of the cluster coordinator positions in ODOT is funded through that funding source, and the function would continue. What this bill does is to establish a stronger responsibility on the part of the commission to monitor how public policy dispute resolution programs are provided.
Okay, is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, I have a neat little chart that shows how the bill impacts the system. And if we had a bulletin board in here, I'd draw it for you. But since we don't, I'll pass this down.
I'm fine.
Okay.
Sure.
Senator Trow.
Yeah. Could the carrier or the staff person, whichever wants to do this, describe to us what used to be the funding mechanism here and what the change is to?
Mr. Chair, Senator, my understanding is the funding mechanism is the civil court filing fee, and that is still the funding mechanism. However, instead of the dollars going through directly to the agencies, they will go through the Dispute Resolution Commission. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is there further discussion or questions? The motion by Senator Brown is to move Senate Bill 958 as amended out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. House Bill 3358.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3358 transfers the Oregon Progress Board and the Economic and Community Development Department of Administrative Services. The bill also adds two legislative members to the board, which was the original intent of the bill until it came to Ways and Means, and directs the board to assist state agencies in developing performance measures that provide linkages to the Oregon benchmarks. These actions are expected to improve the coordination between performance measures linked to agency budgets and statewide performance goals established in the benchmarks. The fiscal impact on this bill reflects the transfer of the adjusted current service level budget for the Progress Board to the Department of Administrative Services. A corresponding reduction will be made in the budget bill for the Economic and Community Development Department. The Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends your approval of this bill with the -2 amendments.
Are there further questions or discussion? Senator Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pantridge, I think this is a wonderful suggestion. I can't believe we didn't think of it earlier, so thank you. I think it's really appropriate and long overdue.
Representative Hayden?
I, too, think it improves the amendments, improve the situation, adding the two legislators, eliminating rulemaking authority, and placing it under the aegis of the Department of Administrative Services. I think the only thing that would make it better would be to handle it as we do the spinal cord research inquiry.
My only suggestion was going to be to put Senator Yee on as a permanent member. Since we've all been dealing with it. She doesn't like the Progress Board anyway, so she wouldn't go for those amendments.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, I was a courtesy guest vote in the committee. I really don't feel we need this Progress Board anymore because all the departments are collecting their own data, reporting their performance measures to the legislature and to the Department of Administration. So that function is already done at the current time. So we don't need the Progress Board anymore. It's a duplication of effort. The most we need to do is contract with Progress Board Director for a overall picture, overall report, gather all the information and make a report annually and give a contract fee a certain amount to publish the book. But the function is already done by different departments and all reported to Department of Administration. So I feel this is a complete duplication of effort, and we really could save $1.1 million.
Senator Senator Trove.
I was just thinking about Senator Yee's response, and it's not quite my response. The question I had earlier was, what's the advantage of shifting this to the Department of Administrative Services? What will that do?
Ms. Lamont, would you like to respond to this?
Yes, Co-Chair and Senator Trow. The purpose of shifting the Progress Board is to improve the linkage between the performance measures in agency budgets and the overall goals that are established in the benchmark.
Okay. You think the shift will do that? Any reason to assume that it will?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, yes, and the reason for that is that the Department of Administrative Services has been given greater responsibility for the performance measures in agency budgets. And therefore, having the broad statewide goals and the performance measures linked in one agency should improve what is reported to the legislature.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. With respect to Senator Yee, without her persistent vigilance over state agencies collecting performance data, I don't have the same level of confidence data will continue to come in understandable, succinct, useful ways. And so I'm quite convinced that having the progress board housed within DAS will satisfactorily continue the rigorous demands for performance measures that you have brought to the discussions in Ways and Means for a long time.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to agree with Senator Yee. I will be voting for it today because hopefully this will be the beginning of the demise of this, and it can just be budgeted out in a future budget when it's in DAS. I have never seen anything useful come out of this except for a bunch of books that we get mid-session that we throw over our shoulder in a big stack behind us. And I've never yet seen in this process any linkage to the budget. Maybe I'm sitting and we're not talking about it, or there's not benchmarks. But we've never tied any of the budgets or had any discussions to these benchmarks that are so valuable to us. And I could find many places we could spend $704,000 in general fund other than this.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Multnomah County has used the benchmarks very effectively and very well over a period of several years when I was serving on the commission. They were invaluable in helping to focus the county budgets into really critical areas. I think they can be a very valuable tool. If we're not using them effectively, then that's our problem, and we should get on board and figure out better ways to use them rather than disparaging them.
Senator Farioli.
Having worked with the Progress Board, Mr. Chairman, a little bit, I share some concerns about the correlation of benchmarks with agency actions with other members that have spoken here. But the philosophical issue for me is one that gives me a bit of question. Either the Progress Board reports progress, or they can help shape and define what progress is by what they choose to look at and what they choose to emphasize. And as a tool, I think they could be incredibly valuable and have been in some instances. But many citizens on the east side of the state of Oregon, when asked about progress, will simply tell you there ain't any. What's defined as progress by the things that get attention from the Progress Board causes me to wonder whether they're driving information or driving policy.
Okay. Is there further discussions? Representative Hayden.
Just a vote explanation, Mr. Chairman, so my vote isn't confusing. I'm going to vote no. I do support the amendments, but I do view the Progress Board more as an advocacy commission, and I'm going to vote no on that basis.
Okay. Is there further questions or discussion? Maybe we should take a roll call vote on this. Ms. Archer?
Okay. Representative Schrader?
Aye.
Butler?
Aye.
Heffridge?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Morgan?
Aye.
Hayden?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Yee? Excuse me, Senator Yee?
No.
Rowe?
Aye.
Duke?
Aye.
Farioli?
No.
Hartung?
Aye.
Senator Duncan?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Chair Hannon?
No. Motion passes. This is one agency I would have liked to have seen located in Boise, Idaho, or somewhere east.
With the ball team?
Yeah, with the ball team. Other business, Division of State Lands, Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Division of State Lands brings forth the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration grant application. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends that the Ways and Means Committee approve submission of a $364,000 federal grant application by the Division of State Lands of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration of the U.S. Department of Commerce for completion of construction projects in the South Slough National Estuarine Research Reserve. The South Slough Reserve has been engaged in construction and renovation projects with the cooperation of NOAA since 1997-99. NOAA has now made an additional $364,000 available for construction projects at the reserve. Approximately 40% of the available funding would be used to complete the interpretive center remodeling at Spruce Ranch and the renovations there. The ranch serves as accommodations for visiting researchers. The remainder of the construction funds will be used for interpretive center exhibit design and fabrication. The funds require a 30% match, which will be provided from private donations to the Friends of the South Salou. The agency was also seeking approval for a federal grant application in the amount of $400,000 for property acquisition from willing sellers adjacent to the reserve's existing boundaries. The subcommittee expressed concerns about the property acquisition portion of the request and directed the agency to return with additional details. The application to NOAA has a July 1st deadline. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval of the federal grant application in the amount of $364,000 for South Salou construction projects, with the understanding that the agency will return to the Emergency Board with a request for the necessary expenditure limitation if a grant is awarded. The South Salou was directed in a budget note to report on a regular basis to the Emergency Board on activities and expenditures at the reserve.
Okay. Is there further questions or discussions? Is there objection to the grant application? If not, it's been so approved. Division of State Lands, Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, from your Subcommittee on Natural Resources, the Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends that the Ways and Means Committee approve submission of a $26,500 federal grant application by the Division of State Lands to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for monitoring the recovery of coho salmon and cutthroat trout habitat on South Salou National Estuarine Research Reserve. The federal funds are available to continue ongoing efforts at South Salou Reserve on salmon habitat restoration. The funding will be used to generate additional data on existing restoration sites and to establish baseline monitoring data on new experimental habitat restoration projects. Although there is no deadline for submission of the grant application, the likelihood of funding becoming available for the reserve is increased the sooner the application to Fish and Wildlife Services. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application with the understanding that the agency will return to the Emergency Board with a request for expenditure limitation if the grant is awarded.
Okay, is there further discussion or question? Is there objection to the grant application? If not, it's been so approved. Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Senator Duke.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that the Ways and Means Committee approve submission of a $9 million federal grant application by the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to the National Marine Fisheries Service of the U.S. Department of Commerce for the continuation of the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program. Last December, Congress made an additional $54 million available to the four Pacific Northwest states and tribes for continuation of the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program. The Oregon share of the congressional appropriation is $9 million. The available funding requests the second installment of federal funds to assist the states in responding to the listing of coastal salmonids under the Federal Endangered Species Act. Receipt of these federal funds was anticipated by the agency. It requested a web budget for 2001-03 inclusive package to provide the necessary expenditure limitation for the funds. Although there is no specific application deadline, the grant funds will not be released to Oregon without formal application. The subcommittee discussed the role the legislature will play in determining how the funds will be spent and expressed interest in directing use of the federal funds through the agency's 2001-03 adopted budget. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application submittal.
Okay, is there questions or discussion? If not, the recommendation is for the approval of the federal grant application. Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. We have finished our agenda, and on behalf of Co-Chair Weston, myself, we want to thank the members. We're moving along, and it's very important that we all be in our subcommittees as much as possible. We realize that there's other commitments people have to make, but some of the committees are being held up because of absence of quorum. And so out of courtesy to those that do show up, we would respectfully request that you do show up. Let the co-chairs know so we can go in and take your place and fill in temporarily until you arise so that the subcommittee chairs can proceed with business. So with that, thank you. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you Tuesday.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
I just forgot something. I was called out by the president for a few minutes, and I just wanted to be sure. When we leave the room, does she record us or as having voted? Mr. President, I am recorded. Okay. I just want to be sure I was recorded voting, not a couple of...
Unless you record...
Okay. Mr. Chair, may I ask unanimous consent to be recorded as having voted on House Bill 5112 and 5041 and 5046? You moved fast, and the president talked a little bit longer.
Mr. Chair, how do you want to vote?
I'd like to vote aye.
Is there objection to Senator
5046.
If there is no objection to Senator Duncan casting his vote, it is so recorded. Senator Cook, have a nice weekend.
You and I can't.